he walked by the Sea of Galilee. In Matthew chapter 4, and round about verse number 19 will be our lesson for this morning. Jesus here, as he goes to start his ministry, he walks by the Sea of Galilee and he sees individuals, and I want you to see some things that these individuals do. A little different than how we do things. You know, when we make up our minds, then we do something.
Amen.
Amen. But see, when you really know Jesus, he makes up your mind for you.
Amen.
And so the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, beginning at round about verse number 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen." So they're busy trying to make a living.
Amen.
And you know, sometimes when you try to make a living, you get busy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm not a fisherman. I like to fish, but I don't like to fish hard. Okay?
Amen.
Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But these individuals here are fishermen by trade. And so therefore, it has to be a certain mindset that they have in order to catch fish, right?
Amen.
Because if they don't catch fish, guess what?
They don't eat,
okay? So we're there. But these individuals here, as they're sitting here casting their nets, the Bible says, and they were fishermen. Verse number 19 says, "And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And I want you to see that when you follow Jesus, Jesus makes you what he wants you to be.
Amen.
You know, some of us think we can be whatever we want to be, right?
Amen.
No. When you follow Jesus, Jesus is going to make you what he wants you to be.
Yeah.
And so as he calls these individuals, I want you to see three things. I want you to see their attitude. I want you to see that when it's time to do the will of the Father, they don't have questions like we have questions.
Yeah.
They don't worry about things like we worry about things.
Yeah.
See, because when Jesus called, and that's the title of the lesson if you're taking notes, when Jesus called, what will your answer be? And so as he calls these individuals, he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse number 20, the Bible says, and they straightway. In other words, they didn't think about being a fisherman. They didn't think about their livelihood. When Jesus called, the Bible says, they straightway did what? Left their nets, and they followed him. Now, I'm not real smart. You know, y'all been on a job and somebody come along and tell you to leave your job and follow me. Boy, don't we have doubts?
Oh, yeah.
But see, when it comes to doing the will of the Father, that's where doubts ought to go out the window. Because if we're going to really believe that God is who he say he is, we must take him at his word. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 11 and round about verse number 6, for without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that what?
Diligently
seek him. And I'm not real smart, but I know what diligence is. I've been diligent with my wife for a few years. Long time. And if I wasn't diligent, would she be faithful to me? You know? And so the Bible says they straightway left their nets and they followed him. Attitude. An attitude that when Jesus calls, nothing else on this time side of life really matters. Why? Because he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. And if we really believe that, so when Jesus calls, church, we ought to have the right type of attitude. I told you 3 points. Attitude. The Bible says in verse number 21, and he goes on from hence. He saw other two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. and he called them. Attitude. Verse number 22. The Bible says, and they took their time. They were late. They kind of just dragged on in. No, the Bible said they immediately left the ship and their father doing all the work. And they followed Jesus. I don't want you to miss this, because I believe if we're going to ever make the difference in the lives of men and women we come in contact with, we either follow Jesus to the letter or we don't. It's no middle ground. The Bible says, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and they followed him. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 23, and Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And we know the rest of the story. His fame went out everywhere, because Jesus had something to offer men and women. And I want to encourage us as God's people that we need to just maybe revisit the Lord and Savior and really ask ourselves a question. How committed are we in our Christian walk? The Bible says Jesus went out seeking these individuals, and he was calling these individuals into service. And you know, in this passage, I don't see one excuse.
No.
You know, because when you mess with my money, and my change is strange. You know, we got a problem. But the Bible says when Jesus called these individuals, they straightway left their nets. They immediately followed Jesus because they understood something about Jesus. They knew that there was a Messiah to come. And no doubt they had to know something about that old covenant. Because when Jesus called, and that's a message to you and I, that when he really calls us into service, do we immediately follow him, or do we pull out some of the excuses that we so used to using? In this lesson text, I want to just encourage you with three ideas: attitude, attitude, attitude. Luke 19 and verse number 10, Jesus is seeking those individuals that will follow him. The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. John chapter 9 and verse number 4, Jesus said, I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day, for the night shall come when no man can work. John chapter 6 and round about verse number 38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And then in Matthew chapter 20 and round about verse number 28, Jesus said, I didn't come to be ministered to, but I came to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. Jesus understood his role, his responsibility. That's why when it came time for him to go to the cross, he had the right attitude. He had the right attitude, the right attitude, and the right attitude. And so this morning, as Jesus calls us into service, what is our attitude really like? When he calls, the response ought to be straightway, forget everything that I'm doing to follow him.
Amen.
Amen. When it's time to work in the kingdom business, nothing ought to hinder us or stop us from doing the will of the Father. I believe these individuals understood something about Jesus because they understood what God would do for them. They understood total dependency. How do I know that? Because when Jesus called them, they didn't worry about their livelihood. They left their father in the boat, mending the net. And they said, Jesus is more important than my father. And so the Bible said they straightway left their nets. They were totally dependent on God and what God would do for them. You think they were worried about their father that they left in the boat? You think, how about some of the family members? You think they were worried about where their next meal was coming from? I don't think so, because when I look at this passage of scripture, I look at them looking at Jesus as being the author and the finisher of their faith. Matthew chapter 6, And round about verse number 19, Jesus says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth rust corrupts and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also.
Amen.
Very interesting. And then dropped out to around about verse number 24. How do I know they were totally dependent on the Lord? Because Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, you must first and foremost deny yourself. I think these individuals were willing to do that. When Jesus called, it wasn't about a bunch of excuses. When Jesus called, it wasn't about I got to go to work to feed my family. No, when Jesus called, the Bible said they straightway and they immediately left their nets. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Somewhere down the line, God's people have to rise above this old physical need that we have in the world.
Amen.
Why do we worry and concern ourselves about everything but our soul salvation? Because someone's told us once saved, and we believe it, and we practice it. You may not say it, you may not believe it, but that's what we practice. Because see, when Jesus called, he makes a difference in our life. Let me show you something. Go to Matthew chapter 6 and drop down to around about verse number 26. The Bible says, behold the fowls of the air, for they neither sow nor neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feed them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your height? And why take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe? What's our problem?
We don't believe it.
Yes, that's it. Tell the truth. We just don't believe that God would do what God said he would do. But I see these individuals, when Jesus called them, I believe they believe this. Why? Because when it came time to serve, the Bible said they left their nets. They left their father in the boat. He was mending the nets. And I'm not the smartest in the world. But see, I lie. I watch Wicked Tuna. That's right. I watch The World's Dangerous Catch. It's work. They left their father in the boat to do all the work to follow Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the author and finisher of one's salvation. The Bible says in verse number 31, therefore take no thought saying what we shall eat or what shall we drink or wherewith shall we be clothed. For all of these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Attitude, attitude, attitude. The attitude was that when Jesus called, no excuse. They were like the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 1 and following. Here am I, send me. Why? Because Jesus called and there's work to do, there is no excuse, but I am ready for service. These individuals show that they were ready for service. Verse number 34, the Bible says, and take no thought for tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Boys, how many of y'all sitting here worried about tomorrow? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. I know. We worry about everything under the sun. But what if you stop breathing? And you can't get to 911? You better have a good hookup with G-O-D. because that's the real life support. Amen. These individuals show that the proper attitude and service to God, God will take care of everything else. Jesus said in verse number 34, he says, "Why even worry about tomorrow? Let tomorrow take care of the things of tomorrow." He says, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Boy, you got enough to worry about getting through the day. It ain't even 12 o'clock, and I know some of us are already thinking about eating.
Amen.
Amen. But what if 12, what if 11:59 come and he calls you? Better be having your mind set more on just some food. These individuals had an attitude to serve God. And this attitude was, they straightway left. They were immediately focused on what thus saith the Lord. And the last little point of this attitude that I want to talk about is they were willing to sacrifice all for the cause of Christ. Can we say that? Huh? Oh, it's easy to say it. But when the rubber meets the road, that's the story. You know, I can talk it all day long. But when it's really time to leave my father in the boat, sweating in that heat, mending those nets with round those stinky smelling fish, and he wants me to go and proclaim a gospel with him. That's some powerful stuff, church. But the Bible said they willingly did it. See, in order to really have the proper attitude, one must be willing to sacrifice everything he has for the cause of Christ. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 16:24-26, if any man desire to come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Let him sacrifice his life in service to me, is what he's saying. Let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? See, they had an attitude. And their attitude was that when Jesus called, they answered the call. They were ready for the call. And they were willing to sacrifice brother, sister, father, mother, everything to follow Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12 and round about verse number 1. See, it requires a sacrifice to really serve the Lord. And I don't know who told us that sacrifice is always a physical thing. I'm learning that sacrifice is also a spiritual thing. But it brings about a physical attribute in order to really reach that spiritual maturity that the Bible talks about. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, Paul says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies how? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Paul says, that's the least you ought to be able to do, and that's the hardest thing we...
Amen.
Why? Attitude. That's right. Because with the proper attitude, it's not difficult to serve the Lord. The problem comes is when my attitude doesn't go in harmony with God's attitude.
Amen.
That's right. And so Paul says, I wish that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's the least we ought to be able to do. But see, the only way you're going to present your body is a living sacrifice. You got to look at verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world. Could you imagine when he went by the Sea of Galilee and he called those boys into play? They said, well, my father's over there in the boat. You know, if I leave now, I ain't going to make no Benjamins.
Nope.
You know how we do when it comes to Benjamins? We'll walk through muddy water, climb the steepest hill to get them dollar bills.
Amen.
But these individuals' attitude was that there is something more important in this time side of life. And I guess the older I get, the more I'm beginning to see the end of my days. Oh, yeah. And you know why I'm looking at the end of my days? Because when I stand before the judgment seat, I don't want to hear him say, well, you know, you created this, you did this, you didn't do that. No, I want to hear him say, you've been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Paul says, then be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of the Father. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of the Father? Is that I present my bodies a living sacrifice. That means that when it's time for kingdom business, take your monkey business and go somewhere else. Amen. Why? Because it's important to understand that one day you're going to leave here. Amen. Amen. I ain't buried nobody with a U-Haul following behind the hearse. No. And even in a cremation, you ain't taking that with you. When you leave here, you're going to be like Rover. And you know how he was. You're going to be dead all over. But church, it's important to understand that if we're going to serve God like these boys did, our lives must be a living sacrifice, and that means something every single day. And when you sacrifice your life daily, let me show you what it does to God. Ephesians chapter 5 and round about verse number 1. The Bible says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear little children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and gave himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. See, Christ sacrificed his life for you and I. And all he asked us to do is to go out here and duplicate ourselves. And why is that so difficult? Because it requires something. Attitude. That's right. With the proper attitude, nothing can stop you. Do you not, you hear me say it all the time, but sometimes I wonder we don't believe it. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, round about verse number 18, and Jesus says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against ecclesia. Amen. That's hell proof. I know you might not believe that, but when you believe that, guess what? It brings a different type of attitude. Amen. These individuals understood that when Jesus called, they were ready to answer the call. And I want to encourage each and every one of us, you better start checking yourself and understand that it's best that you don't know the truth than to know it and don't do nothing. Peter said it's like the true proverb, dog returning to his vomit and a sow after you clean her up, returning to the wallowing in the mire. See, we need to understand something, that each and every one of us have been called into service. That means my life is a total sacrifice, whatever thus saith the Lord. And that means I'm willing to suffer for the cause of Christ that he might be glorified. See, we want glory here. I've told you about the people that I was looking at TV and how everybody likes them. Don't you like that?
Sure.
Huh? No, y'all looking at me funny. Thank you, Kathy. I'm glad you understand. You know, getting well, we like the pat on the back. And we like to be exalted. But really, our exhortation ought to be of the God that cleaned us up, that sent his son to die on a cross to make him sin who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God. If that don't move you, I can't help you. You know why? Because that's what ought to move every person on the face of the earth. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul writes these words to this young gospel preacher, reminding this young gospel preacher that if you're going to live for Jesus, get your mind ready. Amen. Get yourself ready. Get your life ready. Because if you're going to live for Jesus, somebody ain't going to like you.
Amen.
Amen. Look at what he says. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12. He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. I'll let you finish that. Shall suffer persecution. Now, if you're being persecuted because you're doing some wrong, then that's your fault. But the persecution I'm talking about is when it's time to serve the Lord, you get rid of everything to follow him. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm trying to get us to see that as children of God, when we've all answered the call.
Amen.
If you've obeyed from the heart the gospel, you've answered the call. The question is what is your attitude toward the call? You know, in America, we so smart. We got call waiting. How many of y'all got God on waiting? How about caller ID? Boy, you know you're good at that. God calls you. Oh no, I don't want to hear him. Huh? Or how many of us got the busy signal with God? See, Paul says all that desire to live godly in this present world must suffer persecution. And that means that when it's time to do kingdom business, you might have to give up a few McDonald's. Amen. See, when it comes to doing kingdom business, that means maybe the baseball or the football had to take a back seat. Because that Paul is trying to show us that we have to prepare ourselves. And he was a perfect example of showing us that when the call is called, you have to be ready to answer the call. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 1 and following. On the road to Damascus, Paul had received letters from the chief priests that if he found any of that way, he would bring them bound to Jerusalem for persecution. And the Bible says as he traveled down the road, there shined around him a light from heaven. And he fell to his knees, and the Bible says, Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Apple Valley, why persecute? Oh, let's just get personal. See, because we need to understand something. Just like Saul persecuted the church and he thought he was doing right.
Amen.
You can be in this thing and think you're right. And you can be just as wrong. Oh, I'm learning that. But the Bible says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Look at his response. His response is totally different than ours. All right. Where the camera? Something like that happened to us, but we'd be looking for the trick, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
No. Paul said, Lord, who art thou? He says, I'm Jesus, whom you persecuted. It's hard to kick against the pricks. Well, Lord, what you want me to do? Is that our attitude? You know when he throws you in the valley of the dry bones? You know, when he let just all hell break loose around you, when you try to get up, he puts you back. Y'all looking at me like y'all, I know what I'm talking about. You get flat on your back and you look at him dead in the face and you know good and well you ain't lived up to.
Amen.
Paul says, Lord, what will you have me to do? Jesus told him, you go into the city straight and there it'll be told you what to do. And I like Ananias, because Ananias showed me he's just like the rest of us. Lord, I hear he's killing us. I won't be bothered with him. But all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Paul, after he got the call, he straightway became a different person. Why? It was his attitude that motivated him. It was his attitude that drove him. It was his attitude that made him willing to give up all that he possessed to follow this Jesus. You're looking at me funny. Look at Philippians chapter 3. I want to show you. Paul understood his relationship to God, and nothing else mattered on this time side of life but to serve the Lord according to what is written in the book. Even in the midst of trials and tribulations, Paul remained steadfast, unmovable to the Lord. And those words he echoed to you and I down the corridor of time, that in the midst of everything that goes on, God must reign supreme in the lives of the believer.
Amen.
And if you want to know something about reigning supreme, you go to the book of Colossians and you read that. It's all about Christ having the supreme immancy in everything on this time side of life. But Paul understood that. Philippians chapter 3 and round about verse number 1, the Bible says, finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Two-legged. Beware of evil workers. Amen. Beware. And I wonder why he got all of these bewares in here. Because, church, you can be in this thing and fool yourself and thinking you going to heaven, and you ain't nowhere close to heaven. Amen. I had to change the lesson this morning because I didn't have my props for the lesson I want to give you. But you get that one next week. But this here shows that as God's people, when we rise to this plateau of serving him, everything else falls right into line. The Bible says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit, and we rejoice in Jesus Christ, having no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. I want you to look at what Paul says. You know, you think you a good Christian. Right. I got y'all beat by a long shot. How do you know, Paul? Well, let me draw back on my history. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Anybody in here can say that?
No.
Of the tribe of Benjamin. Can anybody say that?
No.
A Hebrew of Hebrew, as touching the law. Pharisees, concerning zeal. Boy, I could spend the next hour right there. Concerning zeal. Well, I drag in and don't want to be here. I'm here and I'm half asleep. Where your zeal at? Because Paul says, concerning zeal, I persecuted the church as touching the righteousness that is of the law. Huh? I know these are words we don't like to deal with. But Paul said, I was blameless. Why are you blameless, Paul? Because when it came to doing God's will, nothing else mattered to him. And then look at verse number 8. But what things was gained to me? You were one of the top religious dogs. You were very well educated. Amen. And no doubt you might have had a dollar or two. Yeah, I know you were zealous because you killed them folk.
Yeah.
He says, but what things were gained to me, those things I've counted loss. For Christ. You mean you're going to give up your statute to follow this Jesus?
Amen.
Who lives in, I don't know where he lives. Because he said foxes have holes. Birds have nests. He said, but the Son of Man don't have a place to live. You're going to follow him?
Yeah.
Paul says, all of this I gave up for Christ. Yea, doubtless am I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them as dung that I might win Christ. What an attitude.
Wow.
Attitude. And he didn't stop there. His attitude says, and I might be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, that is in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and being made conformable unto his death. Attitude. Attitude is Paul said, I want to have his righteousness, not mine. Attitude is, I want to know the power of his resurrection. Attitude, I want to know how he suffered, and I'm willing to suffer just like him. And that's what you're willing to do? Huh? Oh, I know I'm hitting hard, because if we're going to make heaven our home, that's what we're going to have to do. And then he says he wants to be made conformable to his death. Y'all ready? You ready for your cross? Ready for your nails? And saying it don't have to be physical. See, people can shine you. People can disavow you. People can excommunicate you. And guess what? If you do it for the cause of Christ, you ought to be happy that he has saw fit to let you. See, I don't know who told us that God needs you. Who told you that? Do you not know it's really a privilege to be part of the body of Christ?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. It's a privilege. But we've taken it beyond the privilege. It's like God has to let me in. Now, he don't have to let you do nothing. If it ain't that way, then why's our attitude? I'm gone. I'm finished. And finally, the Apostle Paul would remind the believers that everything on this time side of life meant nothing to him, but that he might know Jesus Christ. And finally, these individuals, when the call was made, they left everything behind to follow Jesus. And so, church, my question is the same question I've asked all through this message. He's calling this morning. How will you answer his call? Put him on call waiting? Are you going to allow him to just be on a busy signal? See, he's calling right now. And he's looking for individuals that are willing to seek and save the lost. And he said if he be lifted up, he would draw all men unto himself. Hope I've said something this morning to encourage your heart, church. You know, when I stop and I look at these individuals, I look at a true challenge for the church in this year, 2015.
Amen.
And I believe next month there's going to be even a bigger challenge. And if you're looking at me, well, what's going to happen next month? Well, if you sleep, go on back. Church, there is some things that are going to happen in the next few months that's going to, I believe, test our true Christianity, our true relationship, you know, and who we say that we are. And I know that if you don't have him now, it might be hard to find him when this stuff happens. Just look it around us. Look at the way the world is going. You know, I mean, we fight and get upset at the drop of a hat. And you know why? Because Jesus ain't the center point. Because when Jesus is the center point, boy, he brings about a calm in your life. He brings about peace in your life. And you know something about Jesus? He teaches you how to keep your mouth shut. Amen. Oh, yes. Because if Paul said it's in him, we live, we move, and we have our very being. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known together we stand in